Hello, I'm James Menendez. Welcome to NewsHour from the BBC World Service. We're coming to you live from London. And we're going to start with no less than the most pressing issue facing the world right now. Not the climate crisis, although that's certainly exacerbating the situation. Instead, I'm talking about the rising cost of food and the shortage of grain and cooking oil supplies caused by the war in Ukraine. The vast majority of people live in countries that import most of their food. And one of the biggest exporters of wheat, maize and sunflower oil for cooking is fertile Ukraine. In normal times, it sends out about 5 million tonnes of grain every month. In April, that figure was down to about 1 million. And almost all the grain destined for foreign markets via Ukraine's ports can't leave. About 30 million tonnes are currently sitting idle in silos, and that's because of Russia's blockade. While pressure's growing on Moscow to allow grain shipments to sail, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres warned today that the shortage and its impact on prices means millions of people are at risk of going hungry.
3 months into the Russian invasion of Ukraine, we face a new reality. For those on the ground, every day brings new bloodshed and suffering. And for people around the world, the war, together with the other crises, is threatening to unleash an unprecedented wave of hunger and destitution, leaving social and economic chaos in its wake. Vulnerable people and vulnerable countries are already being hit hard, but make no mistake, no country or community will be left untouched by this cost of living crisis.
Today, the Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov met his Turkish counterpart in Ankara. Turkey's trying to persuade Russia to allow Ukrainian ships to leave. But Mr. Lavrov denied the war was causing a global food crisis and that grain shipments were being prevented from leaving Ukraine's Black Sea ports.
For more than a month, if not 2 months, our Navy, the Black Sea Navy, has been declaring humanitarian corridors from the territorial waters of Ukraine to, in fact, the Bosphorus Strait, which can be used by any ships wanting to.
So is Russia blocking grain or not? This is what Erin Collier, an economist and grain expert at the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, told NewsHour.
Ukraine's main ports do remain blocked. The port of Odessa in Ukraine is one of Ukraine's main ports for shipping grains, and that remains blocked. Russia also continues to dominate the seas, the Black Sea and the Azov Sea, which makes it very difficult for Ukraine to move its grain, its ships through the seas. So that continues to hinder exports from Ukraine, a major wheat exporter.
Let's get a Turkish view of today's talks with Russia now. İlnur Çevik is senior foreign affairs advisor to Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. How much progress was made?
Well, not much, because they agreed to disagree. Russia feels that Ukraine is stalling. They really do not want to sell this grain and that the Ukrainians are making demands all the time. And the Russians seem to pretend to be indifferent to everything. They say it won't be the end of the world if Ukraine grain does not reach the world markets.
And what's your view? I mean, there are lots of countries that desperately need that grain. Do you think Ukraine is stalling, or is it just worried about security?
Well, Ukraine is worried about security, but we can't say they're stalling. They have concerns, and I don't know how legitimate their concerns are. But they want those concerns to be addressed. They feel that the Russians may not give them free passage, that they can't trust the Russians. So there's kind of a stalemate there.
Do you think Russia is an honest party in these sorts of negotiations?
We can't just rule them out. It takes two to tango, and they're one side. In the past, they have proven to be quite honest brokers. So, we have to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Do you think the way forward in these negotiations and getting this grain out is Turkish naval convoy accompanying grain ships out, working with the UN? Do you think that that ultimately will be the way this works?
It will be an international effort, but of course it's again Turkey that is spearheading the whole thing. And the United Nations as guarantors. So I think the Turkish Navy or somebody will be able to escort these people. Both sides trust the Turks. So I suppose it will be the Turks that are escorting these ships. But the thing is, of course, there's these mines. I'm not an expert on these mines, but they have to be cleared some way or another. The mines have been laid by the Ukrainians. They are floating all around the place. So the Ukrainians have to get rid of these.
Yes, and that is going to take time. Can I just ask you this? Do you think Russia trusts Turkey as a mediator, or do you think they see you as partisan?
Well, I think they trust Turkey because we have been very honest with them in several other issues. We always agree to disagree. We're always on the other side of the table. In Syria, we are on the other side of the table. In Libya, we're on the other side of the table. In Nagorno-Karabakh, we're on the other side of the table. But at the end of the day, we agree to disagree. We have a kind of relationship where both sides trust each other and we get results.
Could you be putting more pressure, though, on Russia, given your position at the opening of the Black Sea, the Bosphorus Straits? Could you be putting much more pressure on them and saying, look, we could make life very difficult for you and your naval ships and your cargo ships unless you actually sort this problem with the grain out?
Well, the fact that we have not joined the sanctions against Russia should be a leverage. And the fact that we have closed down the Bosphorus to Russian Navy is another leverage. I think the Russians see that we are honest brokers in that end.
Do you think it's time that you did join the sanctions effort?
Yeah, but if you join the sanctions, then you lose that leverage as well. And many Western countries have told Turkey that it's good that somebody talks to the Russians. There's one channel open. So I think Turkey's this kind of relationship of Turkey with Russia is quite valuable for our Western partners as well.
But of course, you are a member of NATO, and maybe Russia sees you as, one foot in the enemy camp.
Of course it does. I mean, as I told you before, we're in the opposing sides. If it wasn't for us, Russia would have controlled Libya, and now they would be sitting in the southern flanks of NATO as an antagonist to NATO.
Which is why I'm sort of confused, because on the one hand, you say you're an honest broker, but I'm just not sure that Russia would see you that way.
Well, but they have no other option. We're the best deal they have.
Ilnur Cevik, senior foreign affairs advisor to President Erdogan of Turkey. Well, for a Ukrainian view and for more detail on what all this means for Ukraine's agriculture, I've been talking to Nikolai Gorbachev, who's president of Ukraine's Grain Association. First off, does he trust Turkey to broker an agreement with Russia to help Ukraine export the grain that's been gathering in those silos?
How is it possible to trust Turkey if they start to agree with Russia without Ukraine?
What do you mean?
Today they had a meeting, Mr. Lavrov and Mr. Erdogan. They start to negotiate, and Lavrov, like usually, he is a liar, and he says that Ukraine produces just 1% of wheat. That's why it's not so important. I can tell to you that Ukraine, one of the bigger exporter of wheat and corn around the world. And they start to communicate about something. We don't know about what and what kind of guarantee they can give to us. What will be acceptable only guarantee if, for example, UK or USA a fleet will come and will guarantee safe entrance and safe sailing of the grain vessels.
Right, okay, this is important. So you wouldn't accept, a Turkish naval escort, even if that was being done under the auspices of the United Nations?
The United Nations is a good organization, but you see, they are absolutely not reactive in such situation as a war, when Russia can block them in any decision. Let's say such organization, it's only for the peaceful time. But during the war, what kind of instrument the United Nations has to guarantee the security of others?
So between your members, in terms of the amount of grain that is currently in storage, how much is that? And what's the capacity remaining in those grain silos?
Okay, Ukraine has about 65, 67 million tons grain storage capacity, and now about 13 million under occupation. About 5 million tons storage capacity in the ports, which are totally full. And we have ending stocks about 30 million tons. It means remaining capacity about 20, 25 million, somewhere like this.
And if you can't export it and you can't store it, what happens? It just rots.
I think farmers will not harvest part of the corn, and this corn will stay on the fields. Okay, it will be a problem because it will not be the same yield and not the same quality, but it still be possible to harvest the corn after the new year.
I mean, what about exporting it by road and rail? I mean, is that an option?
Not an option, because all this infrastructure, railway and port infrastructure in Europe, just cannot absorb such volume of grain as Ukraine can offer to the world.
Can I just ask you one final question? And this was something we reported on a couple of weeks ago about grain being stolen by Russia and then sold on its own behalf. I mean, is that still happening?
Yes. They occupied silos on the south of Ukraine for the total storage capacity about 13 million tons. And I think there are about 5 million tons on the storage. And let's say roughly about 500,000 tons, they already moved to Crimea by trucks.
And just on your members, so the members of the association and farmers, if they can't get their grain to market, if they can't export it, what's going to happen to some of those farmers? Do you think they're going to be able to survive the next year?
Oh, I think they can face on a huge problem and they can become to the bankruptcy because they need to find the way of export because our domestic consumption, not more than 30 million tons, and we have to find the way how we will export the grain. And it's from the one hand. From another hand, about 40 million people in Africa are waiting for this grain. And we need to find the solution how we will export it there.
And that was Nikolai Gorbachev, who's president of Ukraine's Grain Association there on the problems facing his members. There's much more on this story on our website. The live page is up and running, and this is the focus of that, including those comments by the UN Secretary General, that warning about how this affects everybody in the world, and updates, of course, on the military situation as well in the east of Ukraine. It's all at bbc.com/news. You're listening to NewsHour.